certainly have enjoyed my time here with you this weekend. And sure, there's been a lot of prayers offered this place before you ready to come along. One of the things you look in Scripture is prayer. We were talking about following the example of the Lord last night, I reckon it was. How did he give us the example of baptism? And he's given us the example of singing hymns. And we're to follow after that as disciples of Christ.
Right.
One of the other things that we'll find was very near and dear unto the Lord was that of prayer. He asked the apostles there as he went out to watch and pray. We're instructed in Scripture to pray continually, right?
Without
ceasing. To pray always. Okay? We're told to pray for one another. Prayer is one of the things that, and of course, the apostles said, Lord, you know, John taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, this is the model prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. You don't read the Lord's Prayer, turn to John 17. The Lord's praying right there. He says, Father, I thank thee, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. As many as, if you put that in equation form, it's equal to. So as many as the Father gave him, that's exactly how many he's going to give eternal life to. And they shall live. Now, prayer, though, is something that we're instructed in. It is a blessing for us. It is a sweet privilege that we have. And the Bible tells us that we can boldly come unto a throne of grace. So prayer is something that needs often to be offered. I think about that old hymn that says, ere you left your room this morning, did you think of prayer?
Right.
I think about that other one that says, prayer is a weapon for the feeble, weakest souls wield it best. In fact, that's how that hymn goes. But those sentiments are on our minds this afternoon. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, he says, now I call myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we face opposition, the immediate way that we want to address it is through the flesh. The greatest way to address it is through the Spirit. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord can handle and fight our battles for us far better than we can. If we take those things there to the throne, now, we think about when we come to a throne of grace and we lay that down at the altar of the Lord. A lot of times this is what we do. We go into our closet, we take all our baggage off, we lay it down before the Lord, and just before we leave, we pick it all back up and leave out with it. I know y'all probably don't do that. I do. Sometimes I'll come there and lay everything down before the Lord and say, there you go, Lord, and I'll just take it with you. I've even heard people say, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. That's the first thing we should be doing.
Yeah.
It's praying. Because the Bible assures us, there's times in our life, one brother I heard, he said, boy, I didn't think my prayer made it past the sea. And I said, well, you're doing better than me. I didn't think mine got off the pillow. But the Bible assures us that the Lord hears the prayers of his saints. It says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Over in Revelations, this is just how precious prayers are unto God. In Revelations, we see that there's a vial full of a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord, and that vial is full of the prayers of the saints. That's an amazing thing to think about, that our prayers are something so precious to the Lord that they're kept in a vial in the Lord itself. And it's a sweet-smelling aroma. That's what that means. To the Lord. Sweet-smelling savor is what it says. But it's sweet to the Lord. Our prayers are sweet unto the Lord. Now, he says here that it's not we walk in the flesh. We do not war against the flesh. You know, I think about when they got there to Jericho, and the Lord said, you just march around the city, march around the city, march around the city. And finally, you ever thought about this picture of what it must have looked like from this perspective? They're walking around Jericho, and they've got lamps in these clay containers, these clay pitchers. It's kind of like us. Can you imagine what it would have looked like from above? You got a lamp inside of a clay pitcher. Surely there was no light going forth or going out of it. It's just a clay pitcher. But from above, you can see that light going all the way around Jericho. From God's perspective, you can see it. From their perspective, you couldn't see it. They told him to shout and bust those pictures and the light would shine forth. You know, sometimes we need to break our clay pots.
Sure did. Yeah.
Because the treasure we have is in an earthen vessel. When I think of an earthen vessel, I used to teach fiber optic splicing and fiber optic testing when I worked for the phone company. And an interesting thing, I'll just tell you this. Alexander Graham Bell knew that he could carry a conversation via light when he invented the first telephone. The problem is there was no medium for which him to transmit on. They even kind of tried to use water. Because if you think about, you ever looked at a pond and it was real calm and you see the reflection of the other side just as clear? That's kind of what takes place inside a fiber optic. You have a core and a cladding, and there's dope that's placed in the cladding, so the core works kind of like a mirror. Well, the only reason we can transmit communications over fiber optics now is because they've removed enough impurities that you can transmit over longer distances before you have to reach them. I mean, you actually have transatlantic fiber optics that cross the ocean now, which is amazing. When they first started, you could go to about 8 miles and you had to reach into light because it was getting so low, it would get lost in that glass. So the more impurities you're able to remove, the further that transmission can travel before having to be regenerated, okay? This treasure we have is in a clay pot. And the way you take and you refine is similar to that of metal. They cook out impurities, they cook out impurities, and they cook out impurities. Same thing, when our faith is tried, it's tried in the furnace of fire, and impurities are cooked out. We have to, through prayer and obedience and diligence, have to endeavor to clean our vessels and work out more and more of those impurities that we might walk in a way that our light would shine before men as the Lord Himself has called us to do. And to do that, this old clay pot needs to be refined. Because the more you work on that clay pot and get that clay out of the way, that sand turns into silica glass. You know, where I come from, hurricanes are a bad deal. And we used to have to use them over. We kept kerosene lanterns all through our houses because there was times coming when you were going to need it to have light in the house. But you know, if that thing's not adjusted just right, you'll soot that globe just like that. It really don't put out a lot of light. Because the globe needs clean. And we continually need to clean our globe so that our light can shine like it needs to. He says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Whew, I wish I could do a whole lot better job of that. That even my very thought would be brought into the thought of the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Now, but what he says here is that what we have, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal. They are spiritual. All right? When we go to the Lord in prayer, I trust we offer prayer according to the Spirit. In Romans, in the 8th chapter, sometimes it says, I'm going to back up to verse 24 real quick. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why not yet hope for it? But if we hope For that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hope is not a weak word. Hope is an earnest expectation. That's what that word means. It's not a wishful thought. You know, if I told you I hope I win the lottery, that wouldn't really do me any good because I had not bought a ticket. So I could say I hope I win the lottery, but I hadn't bought a ticket. I don't expect it. But I'm going to tell you, our hope in Christ is an earnest expectation. You know what I'm saying? It's something that we expect to happen. It's not a wishful thought. It's not a wish. And our language messes up words all the time. We've made hope so weak that it means nothing. I'm telling you, it is an earnest expectation of an expected end.
Yeah.
All right? And it saves us. And he goes on to say, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. A lot of times that's one of the things you worry about. Lord, I don't know how to pray. He said, we surely don't know how to pray. He says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for saints according to the will of God. I want you to know that the Spirit within us at this very moment is making intercession on our behalf. That our elder brothers at the right hand of the throne on high make an intercession on our behalf right now. He is praying for us always. How often ought we to be praying? Now, I want to take that thought and I want to turn it over real quick and grab a text in Job. And I want you to think about this because I'm sure that y'all can testify the same thing that I'm fixing to tell you. There was a dear old brother that lived right down the road from me, right down the road from the church I served in McGee, Mississippi, Old Good Hope Church. And he was a principal man among the old Baptists, chock full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And there was many times we were in the room and old brother Jerry would hold his peace when he should have been talking and somebody else should have been listening. Other people were running off the mouth. And he had far more wisdom shut up in that brain of his than many men I've spoken with. And he was a prince of a man. And there was not a single time that I was with him that I didn't hear him pray that the Lord continued to send forth laborers. He prayed for it continually. There was not a single time that I ever heard him pray that I did not hear him pray for that. When he passed away, there were six brethren that had been ordained less than 10 years, carried his casket from the door of the meeting house to the gate of the cemetery. At the gate of the cemetery, six more young brethren that hadn't been ordained more than 10 years took his casket from there to the graveside. And standing at the graveside was three more brethren that hadn't been ordained more than 10 years that preached this service. I'm going to tell you, that dear old brother's prayers were answered. But the problem is we have prayer warriors like that go on to be with the Lord, and I'm fearful that we haven't picked up the mantle as we ought. Job said this, when I thought about this morning I was thinking about, I didn't know what other time I was up in Detroit and had to drive in that mess. It was nasty. This morning, it was pretty bad. It took me a longer time to get here than I thought it would be me here. But anyway, I left 30 minutes before then. They beat me here if that tells you anything about my ability to drive. I didn't want to be like any of them three people I saw in the ditch down this road over here. But Job in the 38th chapter says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? When I was a little grandson, a grand boy, a little bitty boy, I had a test coming up. My mama said, son, you need to be studying for that test. I said, I ain't got to study, mama. I can keep playing. She said, why is that? I said, Papa told me he was praying for me. I wanted to study. I say that in jest, but at the same time, I think I'm still living off of some of the prayers that some of them dear saints have gone before me and kind of piled up on the hill. Said, have you entered into the treasures of the snow? I didn't see much of a treasure in the snow today, to be honest with you. It was a sloppy mess, didn't it? But in this state, in this country, the state of California is one of the largest agricultural producers in the Union. We get more rainfall in 1 month than they get in the entire year. It's crazy, isn't it? But I'll tell you what they do get. They get a whole lot of snow. And that snow gathers up on the top of those mountains, and when springtime comes and the thaw hits, that snow melts and it runs down and it's held in reservoirs. The crops are planted. When there's need for water, the reservoirs are open and the water's released and they're able to water the crops. That's a beautiful picture. The Lord says He's a very present help in times of trouble. I'm going to tell you that I know that there's been many brothers go before me that have piled snow up on the mountain that's been gathered on the reservoir so that it can be opened up in a time of need. I just pray that we, brethren, be piling snow up on the hills for our children, our children's children, and our children's children's children, if the Lord lets us go on that long. May we be piling the snow up. May we enter into the treasure. I've entered into the treasure of the snow in my day. I promise you, I have been blessed on prayers offered on my behalf before I was even here. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that there's been brethren that have prayed for you, and you're living off of those prayers as well. What I'm telling you is, let's don't get slack concerning the treasures of the snow. Let's keep piling it up and piling it up, because I'm going to tell you, God's children stand in His blessing. And even if we don't pile it up like we ought to, I am so grateful to know that our elder brother is right there right now making intercessions on our behalf, because he knows what things we truly stand in need of, because the Spirit itself bears witness unto him what things we need. But let's not take that for granted. Let's be found a praying people. Always praying. And never ceasing to pray. Amen. God bless you.